You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
3 or 4 weeks ago, the Lord dealt with me and said, I want you to write something because my people are being beguiled by Facebook. I resisted because I don't like fanfare, or I don't like anybody to know anything about me. I like to be a secret weapon. I like to be a behind-the-scenes special operative, not interested in being out front. Because when people know what you're going to do, they can plan for it. I'd rather hit you when you're not knowing. And he dealt with me and dealt with me and dealt with me and dealt with me until the other day I sat down and wrote what he had me write. When I finished writing it, I sent it off and I said, Lord, this is going to cause a tremendous backlash and a lot of negative responses. And all I had was good responses from believers who believed that in some cases they had become beguiled and fell into the trap of the devil. If you're familiar with the term narcissism, it means that it's a person who's in love with themselves. So much so, every opportunity, public and or private, is designed to push their personal agendas. Facebook is a place for optimal narcissism. When you start taking pictures of what you're eating and what you're dressing, and it's just about you. Matthew says, we're the salt of the world, the salt of the earth, and the light of the world. And so the Lord had me write that. Along with another scripture the Apostle Paul gave us. Just go with me for a moment. God knows that I'm a man of principle and purpose. I don't do anything without a principle and a purpose. And as he's begun to deal with me, especially for today, my sermons are done on Monday, and what you see me reading here are just the scriptures that he gives me. And then I take the rest of the week to get those scriptures into my heart and mind so that I don't have to fumble with exegetical or hermeneutical processes that get in the way of the anointing. And so I had fully planned to continue the renovation of the mind in the context of how we should begin to think. And an alarm bell went off in my mind. And that bell had to do with the topic of spiritual warfare. And that there's one thing you learn about God is he never sends you a warning unless something is coming. And so today I want to just give you a briefing and equip you and warn you. I can't make you go where God wants you to. I spent the first 15 years of my pastorate trying to make people do things. I spent the last 15 years of my pastorate trying to make me do things. I found that was harder. So today, I don't want to make you do anything. But I want to make you aware of what's going on around you, even in the seat that you're sitting. If you think that the devil does not send representatives into our services to sit next to you under the guise of God, you are woefully mistaken. If you think that the enemy will not try and bring you off the wall as he did with Nehemiah, you are woefully mistaken. There are two passages of scripture that I want to begin our journey. I want to use these to call your attention to the severity of the battle. I think my sermon, in order for it to be effective, will be filled with euphemistic speech, metaphorical language, using analogies, and other parts of speech that will help us to understand what the Lord is trying to say to us today. I'm one of those people that believes the deeper you get into a relationship, the closer you should draw with the person with whom you are involved. I often say I'm a Victorian man lost in contemporary times. I should have been born in the 14th century. I just have thoughts about men and women. I think women should be cared for. loved, honored, and respected. You should not have to have emotional, financial, or psychological pressure. I know I'm out of season. Yes, I am. Women are different today. Men are different today. I've never seen so many punkish men who lay around and whine like Ahab when Naboth said, "You can't have my vineyard. It's been in the family for years, and you can't have it." I've never seen so many men who cry simply because they have a rough time. Get over it. You're supposed to have a rough time. And so I read the Bible through those lenses. I read the Bible through the lens that men are to be leaders. They are to be filled with everything the woman needs that they could draw from. And so ultimately, you create an environment and a world where she is safe, comfortable, and provided for. She should not have the emotional stress of dealing with bill collectors and contractors. She should be calm enough to know that my man's taking care of this for me. And even though I may have to talk to the contractor, I don't have the stress of having to pay them. I'm old-fashioned. It's how my daddy raised me. And so I find in the body of Christ, men have become children again. They are back. They are back. And please forgive my open language. They are back at the nipple being nursed instead of being weaned and providing leadership. And so something is going on here. And we need to investigate, evaluate, and fix this thing. If it's fixable. My natural pragmatism says it's not fixable, that we're stuck right where we are, and we just need to wait for the Lord to come. And all these years that we've walked with God, we are still susceptible to the same spirits. And the same people are able to bring us down and have us lose our joy. Something you've been tripping over for 20 years can still impact your life. Why is that possible? Well, the Word of God teaches us a couple of things that I want to call to your attention. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus and Peter are having a conversation. And Peter says to Jesus, or Jesus rather says, "Who do men say that I am?" He asks his disciples for the public record of who he is. And Peter, by the anointing, says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't tell that to you, but you received it by divine revelation." And then he goes on to say something that the Catholic Church uses to ordain Peter as the first pope. He said, "Thou art Peter." And the name Peter literally means stone. It translates chip off the block. In other words, he's calling Peter a pebble. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock." And so here is the problem. When he identifies Peter, he connects it with rock. So people think Peter was the rock, but Peter was a stone, a chip off the rock. The rock is Jesus. He said, "Upon this rock." What rock? The revelation that I'm the Christ. I'm going to build my church. Listen. On me, not on Peter, on me. Then he goes on to say something that us Pentecostals love to use. He said, "And I'm going to give you the keys." And keys speak of authority, See, he says, I'm giving you authority. Now, here's the thing that messes us up. He said, and whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. And so that has fostered this prayer mantle that says, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You can't bind Satan. God let him run free. So apparently Jesus isn't talking about binding in the physical. It's a legal term. Here's what it means. I am giving you the authority of me. And whatever you allow, I'm going to allow it. And whatever you disallow, I'm going to disallow it. Because you have my authority. Lord, help me. I wish I had somebody that could go with me. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What does that mean? When my mother and father left home, they left the older siblings in charge of little Eric. That meant that Jackie was the oldest, and then Gary, and then me. But in most instances, because our sister was very introverted, that rule changed. And so Gary wound up running things. Now, I would do certain things that Mama and Daddy didn't let me do when they were there. But Gary was now in charge. And so whenever we would violate the law, Jackie would say, I'm going to tell Mama and Daddy. Gary never said that. He just hit me. Why? He was in charge. Here's what happened. Our parents gave him the authority. From that time, he started issuing the commands. Jesus is saying, you ought to be so close to me that you only allow in your worship what I would allow. And if you allow it, I'm going to go along with it. But if you disallow it, I'm going to stop it. Most of what's going on in church has nothing to do with God. But because we're allowing it, he's allowing it. Listen carefully. When you understand the omnipotence of God, it means that no one is more powerful than him. You hearing me? So if God, the all-powerful one, let something or somebody come into your life with the intent of harassing you, it's not God allowing it, it's you. And God said, since you let them harass you, I'm going to let them harass you. Since you let them give you angst, I'm going to give you angst. I'm going to let them give you angst. I'm not going to stop them. You can stop them. Every one of us has somebody who has our cell phone number that we don't want to have it. But we will not block them. We ask the Lord to stop them from calling me. God says, I'm not stopping them. All you have to do is not answer the phone. But since you allow it, I'm going to allow it. So don't come to me whining when your spirit is burdened and when you can't praise me because your joy has been ripped from you. You allowed it. Whether you allowed it or not is not the issue. The issue is, why did you allow it? Why did you let that person have access to you? Under some phony gospel that said, well, you're supposed to love everybody. Does love mean that you lay down and let someone walk all over you because they're neurotic? How long? Now listen to Matthew. He says, I'm going to build my church. I love this because, see, we quote this. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many of you have ever quoted that? Okay, a few of you. I mean, come on, you real Bible scholars, right? I want the real scholarly person to tell me they quoted it. Okay, now watch this. What does it mean? What does it mean? You want to take a shot? Take a shot. What does it mean? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does it mean? Okay, that's different than what I quoted. but you're speaking the truth on the other side of it. You can sit down. Watch. We quote that verse and we erroneously state the gates of hell will not prevail against the church because we're looking at it as an external thing. On the heels of the revelation of Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But there has to be some things in place. Number one, the church has to have a revelation of Christ. If the church doesn't have a revelation of Christ, they are susceptible to the devil. Number two, the church needs to understand that there are two primary witchcraft spirits that work in the church that are the most clandestine and most clever and most undercover that the devil has, and it has been functioning in the church as long as we can remember. And because those spirits are being fed by the egos of individuals, they will not be thrown out because they are so closely connected with our view of success. Those two spirits. Now, before I go there, I'm going to do like Chopped. Which one will be Chopped? Then we go to commercial. Those two spirits are identified in Scripture, but before I go there, I want you to take that Scripture we just read in Matthew about getting keys, authority to represent me. Are you listening? Listen carefully. When our Secretary of State goes to a foreign country, the foreign country says, we want to have nuclear bombs. The Secretary of State calls Washington. He says, so-and-so a country wants to have nuclear bombs. What's our position? Our leader says, tell them no, we are not going to stand for it. He goes back and says, no, we are not going to stand for it because he has orders from his leader. Now, when he goes back and says, no, we are not going to stand for it, then the leadership here in Washington has to support the no. But if he hears the no and then decides, well, that ain't right. We don't have the authority to be telling somebody what to do. You know, we've always dealt with eminent domain. We've always dealt with those principles that take property from people. We've always dealt with those principles that takes a whole race of people that were already here and say Columbus discovered America. So what we're going to do is we're going to tell that nation that you can't have these, but I'm going to tell them they can. Because the Secretary of State is now communicating a message differently than the head. What must the government do? It only has two choices. Go along with what the Secretary of State says, whatsoever you allow, or remove the Secretary of State. So God is moving people out the way who do not endorse his kingdom principles. And then they get angry because God has moved them. Now, my task, according to Ephesians 4, is to equip you to do the work. But what's the work? He was not talking about pulpit. Couldn't have been. Because he already identified those who were put in the pulpit. So he could not have been talking about equipping you to do it. What is the primary work of ministry? Your engagement with and exposure to the world. Listen carefully. My task is to help change you so that you will go out and change the world. I can't reach the world, but I can reach you. Just like Jesus reached 12 and they went out and reached others. If you're sitting there waiting for this pulpit, you're missing the essence of God. If you are frustrated because you can't find a place in church, then you better understand God has given you a larger place than the church. You want to reach a couple hundred. He's got thousands waiting for you. See, listen. Oh, yes. Glory. You can't call God omnipotent all powerful, and then fight against what he's doing. You cannot expect God to jump through the hoops of our emotion and personal feelings. So in Genesis, God said to the, and one thing about God, God's not an Indian giver. Whatever he gives you, you got it. See, there are people who say God gave you to me, and then they want a divorce. Well, then, God, listen, just take it from me. Y'all Bethel, right? We all family, right? We are family. I got all my sisters and me. Okay, now we all family, right? Okay, listen carefully. Don't ask God to give you anybody. Just take a shot. Just take a shot. Just roll the dice. Just say, all right, if it falls on 7, I'm marrying them. If it falls on 4, I'm not. Just take a shot. Don't ask God. Because God doesn't make decisions the same way we do. Just take a shot. So many people are married 3, 4, 5 times. And each person, they said, the Lord put us together. Just stop it. Just flip a coin. Heads, I'm marrying you. Tails, I'm not. There you go. You got just as good a chance. 50-50. Can't get better odds than that. We're sitting around waiting for God, and God in heaven saying, I wasn't even thinking that way. I got another job for you. I want you to go to India and take over Mother Teresa's job.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Spiritual Warfare, or the program number 03419P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Word Network is available on Files Channel 292. You can also view featured sermons on the Bethel Deliverance International Church YouTube channel. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at betheldeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.